Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The tragedy that happened in Newtown, Connecticut continued to dominate the news this past week. Only this week, in a different way. Shock has given way to anger. And now it is the not unexpected calls for new laws and reforms that are filling the airwaves. Many are saying we need more gun control laws, mental health system reforms, better school security, even curbs on violent video games. Will those things help? Maybe. I don't really know. That's up to our elected officials to sort out and decide and act on. But this I know. All those things are not the answer. Because new and more laws and rules and regulations don't and can't solve our problems. Laws can't change us. They can curb behavior. They can make things more difficult to do. They may even make us feel better for a while. But they cannot change our hearts or the sin that lives in them. For that's the real problem, sin. The sin that lives in our hearts and erupts in often devastating ways. The sin that caused Newtown and Aurora before that, and mall shootings before that, and Columbine before that, and countless others before that. The sin that caused some to set up scam charities in the names of the children lost so they could make a quick buck off other people's grief and compassion. The sin that fills our newscasts almost every night with stories like these. Maybe some more tragic and gut-wrenching than others, but all filled with hurt and sadness. Many now have taken to calling the man who did this a monster. But we should be careful here and do not get holier than thou. The same sin that lived in him infects us also. And how often does that sin erupt out of us? Certainly not in as horrific a way or on as same greatness of scale, but still devastating to others. As we put them in the crosshairs of our angry, biting, hurtful words. As we take advantage of them. As we feed our greed instead of feeding those in need. As we seek to satisfy our lusts, no matter the cost. And maybe these smaller ways are even more dangerous. The great evil of Newtown is over. But do the lesser evils that come from us go on? Unnoticed by many who maybe look at you on the outside and think you quite pious and holy, without knowing or seeing the monster that lurks within, whose appetite goes on, and who keeps feeding on others. And laws can't change that. In fact, while many these days are standing up and promising to do everything in their power to protect our children, they are, in fact, passing laws to support and advance the very opposite. The destruction of millions of our children while still unborn. No, laws can't do it. Laws aren't the answer. We need a change of heart. We need a Savior. And Mary's song today tells us that we have one. That's why Elizabeth was so excited when Mary arrived. It wasn't just because her cousin had come to visit, and not just because of the good news that Mary was with child, but because the mother of the Lord had come. The Lord come to save us from our sins. That's also why John leapt for joy in Elizabeth's womb. And it is what Mary's song is all about. Now, I don't know how long it took exactly for Mary to get to Elizabeth's house. But I wonder if all the way she was thinking, not just about what the angel had told her, but about all the Old Testament prophecies that were now being fulfilled. About the one who would come to crush the serpent's head. About the promise to Abraham. About the virgin who would be with child and give birth to a son. About the light coming to lighten the darkness of our world of sin. The one all the prophets waited for and looked for and wrote about. So that when she finally gets to Elizabeth's house and receives such a welcome, it all comes gushing out. All those words about what our Lord had promised to do and what He was now doing in His Son, in Mary's Son. The one who is both true God and true man. The one from whom erupts only good things and no evil. The one who lifts up the poor and lowly, who fills the needy, is strong for the weak, and has come to bless all nations and every person in the forgiveness of their sins. To do great things not only for Mary, but also for you and me. To have mercy on us all. He is the answer, because He is no lawgiver. He is a forgiver. And this, in fact, is what the author to the Hebrews was writing about when he said, in those words we heard today, basically, it's not about the law. In the Old Testament, true, God had legislated sacrifices and offerings. That was the law. But what did we hear from Hebrews today? Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Or in other words, the law was not the answer. The law didn't please God. It couldn't make holy. The law pointed to the one who could and who did. And so sinners are not and cannot be sanctified or made holy by the law. No, he writes, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The body carried by Mary. The body laid in a manger, the body hung on a cross, and then the body raised from the dead. That body that bore all our monstrous sins in death, that we might rise with Him to a new life. A holy life with holy desires and a holy heart. A heart no longer dominated by evil, but now by love. A will no longer serving self, but serving others. And a joy that comes not from demanding, but from forgiving. No law could do that. Only a change of heart. Only a heart cleansed and healed by the blood of the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God who, as the prophet Micah pointed out today, was born in the little town of Bethlehem. The little town that, as Micah says, some thought too little. But just as Newtown was not too little for such a great evil, so Bethlehem was not too little for such a great Savior. And Bethlehem, too, remember, experienced a very great evil, much like Newtown. When King Herod erupted in a murderous rage after Jesus was born and slaughtered all the male babies 2 years old and under. There was much weeping and wailing then, too. But it is exactly to be born and live among us in such tragedies that Jesus came. Tragedies, public and private, large and small, well known and unknown. He was born into such a world and lived among the same troubles and heartaches, Micah says, to be our peace in the midst of them. If we didn't have them, we wouldn't need him. But Micah tells us, in this world of sin and sadness and devastation, this one born in Bethlehem, Jesus, shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord. He will find the lost, bind up the wounded, feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, and call those going astray, that we may dwell secure. That when evil befalls us, we be safe, and when it erupts from us, we be forgiven. No law can do that. Only a Savior. Only Jesus. And so just as Elizabeth and John, how blessed we are that our Lord has come to us. And while Mary and Jesus stayed with them for 3 months, our Lord dwells with us now, always. Coming to us in his word and sacraments so that this joy and peace be ours always. He is here in the waters of baptism, in the words of the gospel, in the body and blood of his supper, to forgive, to sanctify, to strengthen, to heal, to protect, to call, and to bless mightily. To lift us in our sorrow, to humble us when we're proud, to fill us with his good things, and give us his mercy. The mercies that tragedies like these remind us we need. That we always need. And that he is always here to give us. And this we celebrate. Because tomorrow is Christmas, the birth of our Savior. But we celebrate not just his birth, but that as he grows and learns to walk, he will walk the road to the cross, to die for you and me, to die for our sins, that we may live. And he is born that we may be born again, born from above as children of God, that we may learn to walk in his way, the way of holiness, the way of life. To celebrate that with his birth, he joined himself to us not just for a time, but forever. That we may be with him forever. And one day leave all sin and sorrow and sadness behind forever. And so John leapt in the womb, a child filled with joy at the birth of Jesus. Is that not the way today as well? Our children filled with joy at the birth of our Savior, leaping for joy. We need to take a cue from them and stop acting like adults at Christmas, but start acting like the children we are, children of God, and leap for joy. That's not always easy. And many folks right now don't feel very joyful, but empty. But as Mary said, our Lord fills the hungry with good things. And He will fill them with His peace and joy through His Word and Spirit. The sun will rise on them and fill them with hope. For He is merciful. He knows sin. He knows sorrow and sadness. He knows about small towns and great tragedies. That's why He came. And that's why, even in the midst of troubles and sorrows, great or small, public or private, our souls can, with Mary's, magnify the Lord, who has done such great things for me. For as He fulfilled His word then, so He does now, and so He will forever. And so as you sing this season, O little town of Bethlehem, remember the story of not one, but two little towns, Newtown and Bethlehem. And that neither is too little for God, our Savior, to do great things. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.